This Sunday, the Church of St. Michael and St. George cranks up for a new school year. The summer is definitely over and autumn has begun. All our kids are back at school and our usual lives are resuming their accustomed rhythms. Here at church, we move from 8 and 10 on Sunday mornings to 8, 9, 15, and 11, 15. And if you've been away for much of the summer, welcome back. The family of God is regathering. Let's get started being Christ's body again. Of course, if you've been around this church for more than a month or two, most of you have, then you know, well, it's not easy being Christ's body. Church has a high calling, a grand mission. But of course, church consists of people like you and me. And people like us can sometimes be difficult. So the first thing I note in this morning's gospel, which Peter just read, is that Jesus tells us to expect trouble in the church. He's talking to his disciples, giving them some practical instruction for their life together. If your brother or sister sins against you, sorry if you thought gathering with the disciples of Jesus meant warm, loving fellowship, think again. Just because Jesus has said, "Follow me," and we have responded with, "Here I am, Lord," doesn't mean that there won't be trouble and conflict among us, controversy even. In fact, sometimes the trouble in the church is brought on not because we church people, like all people, can be weak and timid and self-serving and petty, but because Jesus calls us to be members of a demanding community named church. In my last parish, not unlike this parish, there was never enough money. In that church, the most contentious committee was the finance committee. During one of their many discussions over the budget, a debate whether to hire or fire the youth minister, someone said, "I'm sick and tired of constantly arguing over finances. You'd think the church would have more important work to do than raise and spend money." To which one of the other committee members said, "We wouldn't have money problems. We wouldn't be having this discussion if it were not for the work Jesus Christ demands of us. I'm a member of Rotary. We never have fights like that at Rotary. Jesus is the one to blame for this." But there's more in today's gospel, much more. Jesus gives us explicit instructions on how to respond to trouble when it occurs. When even your brother or sister in Christ sins against you, Jesus says, "Go and correct them when you are alone together. If they listen to you, they've won you over. But if they won't listen, take with you one or two others. But if they still won't pay attention, go to the church." Wow! Jesus is raising the bar on what passes for community. In most of our human gatherings, it's like there's a rule for handling trouble. Ignore the insult or quietly nurture the hurt. Cherish the pain. Wait for the right moment to say to the wrongdoer, "It's payback time. Now I'll get you back for the wrong you did to me. Gotcha." But in this community formed by Jesus Christ, the reconciler of the world, reconciliation is more important than even justice. The justice of getting a payback. Every time I get a profile from a church looking for a new rector, they inevitably describe themselves as the friendly church. And friendliness is a great thing, though sometimes we're the friendly church means you just try and get inside our cozy club. But I know enough about church to know sometimes a congregation values superficial friendliness more than they value the community in Christ. Here in Matthew 18, Jesus dares to tell victims of other people's sinful wrongdoing that they are able to take the initiative to find a way to talk to the culprit, to tell the truth about the wrong, to give the person the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. They are to seek active restoration of the breach. Try to do that one-on-one, and if it doesn't bring work, bring the whole church into the process. Too much is at stake to simply quietly overlook the wrong. We are to love our brother and sister in the church enough to want them to have the opportunity to be the best they can be, and for them to know how their actions have affected another person, and to take responsibility for their discipleship. A couple of weeks ago, here at the Church of St. Michael and St. George, a parishioner came to me, and she said how sad she was when the week before, the old favorite hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, was sang to the tune of Abbot's Lee, rather than the more familiar tune, Austria. And this person said, I like our choir master, Rob, and I've supported Rob, and I think he does a good job. But if Rob is going to go switching tunes like that on some of our best loved hymns, well, Rob is going to be in big trouble. Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, sung to the tune of Austria. Austria was composed by Franz Joseph Haydn in 1797. The tune and the words were first associated together in 1889. Of course, in 1922, Germany adopted that tune for its national anthem and called it Deutschland, Deutschland über alles. During the Second World War, the tune Austria became reviled in Britain, at which point Cyril Taylor, a musician working in the religious broadcasting department of the BBC, wrote the tune Abbot's Lee at his home in the village of that name near Bristol, and set the words, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, to that new tune. So, I stuck my head in Rob's office and I said, a parishioner mentioned to me that she was disappointed when we sang Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken to the alternative tune. Maybe we should sing Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken to the tune Austria next time. Rob stared at me with that droll stare that he has. And finally, after a long silence, he said, the last time we sang Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken to Austria, you said you didn't like the German allusions, and could we please sing it to Abbot's Lee? Which is it, Andrew? Do we sing it to Austria, or do we sing it to Abbot's Lee? Somehow, in this circle, I believe that we have fulfilled Jesus' demands in Matthew 18. My relationship with this parishioner was deepened because she risked confronting me about the nefarious ways of our choir master and organist. And my relationship with Rob was deepened because he now has a better understanding of the depth of my dementia. So, maybe that's why in this morning's gospel, Jesus promises, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. Where two or three of you are determined to stay in relationship with one another, not to let a wrong go unchallenged or unmentioned, determined to allow your sister or brother in the church to repent, to change, to receive an offer of forgiveness, I'm right there with you, Jesus says. And maybe that's why this is one of the few places in the gospel where the word church is used, right here in today's gospel. Don't you find it interesting that this gaggle of disciples is called church precisely at the point that Jesus explicitly tells them, you will suffer wrong at the hands of church members. There will be misunderstandings and even intentionally inflicted pain. You can't respond to that as the world responds to it, but you must find a way to confront the other person and attempt to restore the relationship. If necessary, bring the whole church into the act of reconciliation. This suggests to me that the church, the true church, the real church, as Jesus means it to be, is not a place without conflict or division, argument, crisis, or occasional wrongdoing. We're trying to live together. We're trying to take responsibility for each other's spiritual growth, to work on tough assignments from Jesus together, to tell the truth together, and to make that often used word community really mean something. And that means there will be words spoken that shouldn't have been. There will be slights and overslights and even downright meanness and hurt. And that's what you get when folks are trying to be more like Christ's body than the garden club. But over all this, there is a divine promise. I will be with you always. Where just two or three of us try to tell the truth, confront each other in love, to restore broken relationships, and to stay together no matter what, Jesus promises to be present. Amen.